broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Brangelina implodes. Bethany Frankel almost explodes. Lindsay Lohan makes bank on a Russian tell-all interview. Leah Remini continues to ride the coattails of her Scientology exit in a new A&E series. And Gigi Hadid is assaulted in Milan. That and more with Andrea Fasano right now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from on-camera host and producer Andrea Fasano.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having me on your show. This is so awesome.
I'm glad to have you here. We're in our a little intimate setting here.
It is very intimate. And can I tell you, this is my first podcast.
No way.
Yes, with all of the on-camera stuff we do. This is my first one.
Well,
so
welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome. Well, I'm glad to have you here because you keep it real. You're an East Coast chick.
Yep. Through and through.
And, you know, we connected over this at the AfterBuzz TV pool party.
I know. So much fun.
Yes.
You, me, and Fern. We, like, couldn't get away from each other after.
That's true. So I had to have you on naturally, and we just came back from a nice brunch where we met Fern.
Yes.
And now it's time to talk a little bit of what's going on in the news. But first, I want to mention that Grant's Rants Hollywood Live will be premiering October 4th at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the BidChat app. Now, if you're a podcast listener, you can continue to find the show the following day on all major podcasting platforms. So nothing changes for you if you just want to be a listener. And if you want to watch in person and call in and interact with us, you can do that too on the BidChat app. So keep an eye open for that October 4th. Now, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about stuff on the show.
Yeah.
You know, this election is killing me, and I can't wait for it to be over. But I think, you know, some people have made their decisions, but perhaps people have a more definitive viewpoint on which team they're on when it comes to this Brangelina divorce.
Ooh, I like your little segue there. That was nice.
You know, it's like you literally can't escape this.
No, not right now.
No.
And I think it's because there hasn't really been something like this in a while, probably since the, you know, political campaign. So, and it's something that, you know, these aren't two people that were just... It didn't happen yesterday. This has been over 10 years
right.
in the making of a relationship, and then it's all of a sudden going down pretty brutally.
I forgot they were married for two.
Yes.
I didn't even realize they were actually married. But now a video, we all know that they're getting divorced, but now as of now, a video has surfaced of him drunk and yelling at her, allegedly, and she's been the one kind of behind this. No violence was conducted in the video and nothing towards the kids, but it was just more like yelling and screaming. They said that his consumption of alcohol was out of control and also weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that you can become very dependent on weed and it can change you.
I agree with that too. I've had my own viewpoints of that with other people in my life and how it affects them.
Yes.
And, you know, they can say all they want and no, it doesn't. Well, it does. It absolutely creates a lifestyle around you. So, and that's fine if that's what you want in your life. But if you don't, I agree
yeah.
with you on that. But so does alcohol.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Pills,
anything,
it's consumption.
Anything.
Yeah.
My whole issue with this and the video is everything you just said. Does that not happen in almost every household across the world? You know,
yeah.
So somebody was yelling. It happens. It's not great. It's not good for relationships, for sure. But the fact that they're in the public eye, it gets revealed. But is that really fair
right.
to kind of judge their whole relationship or and even put a pin up against Brad for? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are times where Angelina lost her temper. You know,
right.
there's no way I'm going to believe that she's even keeled.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the way that she's coming out and attacking him to try and win the kids. So I'm just trying, I'm not trying to take sides. I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. And just in the fact that, yes, if he didn't harm the kids or abuse anybody physically, what's the big deal?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what is that trying to prove?
They're turning on all the dramatics. They said
yes.
that the 15-year-old son, Maddox, had to get in the middle of the two of them to break up the fight. So they're like inserting that the kids control
yeah.
the parents, their anger at one another. I mean, it's going to be the biggest circus in a long time.
For sure.
And look, these two never really did anything for me. Like, I don't never understood why everyone thought Brad Pitt was so hot and
yes.
untouchable.
Yes.
And Angelina's a beautiful woman, but I don't feel like she's You know, I don't think they're the superstars that the world puts them on. Right. I never took a side. Like, I was never Team Jen over anybody else. Like,
Me neither.
I just never cared, yes, to be honest with you.
I'm glad you're saying that, because I didn't either. But
yeah,
people do.
Right.
And I think it's Angelina's lack of care for anybody's opinion that makes her so big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and she's beautiful, fine. And she has Hollywood, you know, she's part of a Hollywood lineage. So maybe that's why, but you're right. With Brad, he came from nowhere, you know,
right.
Oklahoma, I think, even, or, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
He just came out of nowhere, and then just their pairing exploded.
And he's always had that long, greasy hair. You know what I mean? Like, he looks so much better when it's short. I don't understand
that,
but that was when people found him the most hot.
Yes.
It was, like, that late 90s, like, up until, like, 2005 Brad that everybody couldn't get enough of. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really have any dog in this fight. You
right,
know what I
right,
mean? Like,
right.
I really don't care what happens. But the LA Department of Children and Family Services is investigating this. So it's clearly more, I guess, more serious than we're saying it is. I don't know. I don't know. Who cares?
Do you think
they'll both
that,
be fine?
That,
they're,
right.
They're in the process of dividing up multiple estates.
Right.
You know, they've got all, like, what, 6 kids? And, you know, they'll be fine.
They will be fine. I even said to you before when we were talking with Fern, like, maybe the best thing is for them to just take 6 months, kind of disappear, and see where they feel then. It doesn't mean you have to talk every day. Just, do these things need to get hashed out now? Does all the negative stuff need to be blown up? What's the point in doing that? Because you're hurting someone, whether it's one or the other, that you have, no matter what, you've invested time in for over 10 years. Like, that's hard. So, I don't know. It's also something that's like, is it any of our business?
Right. Yeah. Unlike most shows, we'll go into this and take sides and make Jennifer Aniston jokes. I'm just saying, look, I don't really care that much to get into it.
I actually saw a good article about it.
I don't think there's that much.
No, I saw a good article because there were so many of the memes coming out with Jen laughing and all that stuff. And it was saying how, it was in Elle magazine, and how one woman's pain shouldn't be another woman's joy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these days with how much we're promoting feminism and independence and, you know, women's rights, that is taking us back 20 steps. I thought the article was really good. And it's just another point. It's just another point and a side to think about and be like, is this really this much of our lives that we should spend focusing on other people that we don't even know?
Yeah.
You know?
I read another article similar to that one today. And it was like, oh, everyone is like, they build up the celebrities and then they go after them to prove that they have clay feet like everybody else. I'm like, what a weird... Clay feet.
That's funny.
Like, what a weird thing, but yeah.
That's interesting.
So it's literally, it's trying to humanize these mega celebrities and these
that
vortex relationships.
Yeah. Basically.
So that's why I resist a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I resist that manipulation of, like, building these people up and then taking them down. Like, that was my biggest issue with Britney. I feel like they ruined that girl, like, you know, and she's still rebuilding all these years later. So I never really fell into all that, like, you make them America's sweetheart and then rip them.
I feel like there's got to be a formula somewhere in the media that some of these outlets have that to make certain people this big. Like, why one or over the other?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's, and it has, it goes for a long time. What gives them this superstardom? What certain angles or and who decides this? So it's all pretty interesting. And this is kind of the demise of that. So
yeah. You know, I had to talk about this because it is definitely Hollywood talk, and I don't want to overlook things, and it is what it is, but I know everyone's chatting about it. But yeah, for me, let me know when it's over.
Right.
We'll talk about the settlements. We'll talk, you know, I'd love to see, like, the properties that are going to go up for sale. Like, that I'm very interested in.
Mm.
And of course, we want the best for the kids, but I don't know how serious it all is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how serious it all is, you know, with, like, abuse.
Right. I agreed. And that's why I think we need to take everything at face value.
Yeah.
See, you know, nobody knows except the two of them what happened.
Yeah. Well, they say he's taking it very hard, crying and being very upset and emotionally unstable. So who knows? That could just be, like, you know, a statement from the other
anybody,
one's camp.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone next door neighbor who thought they heard that from the yard.
Do you notice? There was on Wendy Williams. and they had a picture of the wax figures in New York at Madame Tussauds.
Yes.
They used to have them together, you know, as the power couple. And now they put Robert Pattinson in between them.
Stop.
So there's like 4 feet of space between each of these wax figures.
That's still pretty funny.
Yeah. Why did they put Jen?
That would have been very smart.
Now, there's some press for you. You get pictures around the world. Like, why not? Like, why not? Yes. You know, just put it. I mean, I don't know.
Or
Robert's random to put it between.
How about Marianne Cotillard? And if they have her there.
Oh, yeah.
But meanwhile, then she had to make an announcement that she was pregnant with her current situation.
Oh, yeah.
Just to put these rumors to bed, you know?
Yeah. I don't think she's carrying his kid. I think that's like, well, trying to make this into like a, you know, a triangle here that probably isn't true. But who knows? Who knows? They'll all be fine at the end of the day.
Right. And they'll still be making movies.
Well, someone else who, I don't know if she's going to be fine at the end of the day, but she's getting through life somehow. Lindsay.
Oh, I can't. She's still around?
Well, that's it. I almost wasn't going to talk about Lindsay because I love talking about the Lohans.
Yeah.
But look, I get it. People are not interested in her shenanigans, but this is a really interesting story. And I want to really talk about it because I love her, and I thought there were some different facets to it.
So I used to love her when she was younger, and then I just stopped feeling bad or sad or whatever for her.
I love them
the
for this show
that
because
yes,
they deliver
course,
so much.
Of course.
You know, so, and I love Dina. I will always worship Dina. So, you know, Long Island.
Yes.
Have you ever run into her?
No, never.
Did any presence with the Lohans in your life growing up?
No, I don't. There was something when I was younger. It was just the idea that she was from there.
Perhaps
and, you
a
know,
squad
with
car with Michael in the back drove by your school. So, you know what I'm just saying?
They were very big in the newspaper, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Newsday was just had them all over the place.
Yeah.
But
well, Lindsay's ex-fiancé, we reported before on the show and everywhere, he was abusive to her and all this stuff. Their engagement is awful. Russia Channel 1 has given her almost $1 million in U.S. dollars to have an interview. So
ridiculous.
They gave her over $843,000 for an interview. That equates to over $5 million in Russian currency.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So they paid out for this. And I'm not seeing the interview anywhere, but I'm seeing, like, you know, excerpts, like you know, quotes posted in articles. So she called him an abuser. She called him broke. She said that she's still wearing the engagement ring because she got that ring herself for herself.
Stop it.
Because he doesn't have anything.
How did she meet this guy, by the way? He's 23. She's 30.
She's always in Ibiza on a boat.
Okay,
so,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah, and she's living in London, they said.
Yeah.
So but she claimed that he broke into her house and tried to do something while she was sleeping, and she was scared he was going to throw acid on her face. Now, tell me this girl is not on acid while she's picturing it. Like, who thinks of that, and where do you have acid lying around?
I know. And it's like, it's all the way past the side, he's going to splash acid on
her.
Right. Which is like, that's so weird.
So weird. And you're telling the Russian paper this. Also, not for nothing, I try to stay diplomatic, but her face already looks like it's been splashed with acid in one of those photos that they had with the paper. Really, what's going on with her?
I love following her on Snapchat. I don't know if you have the opportunity to do so.
No, I haven't.
But she has that troublemaker smile on in all her pictures.
Just hot mess.
Always up to something. And she's always out on another boat. So who knows what she's...
Well, good. Hopefully she's enjoying her life. And
well, recently...
This goes away soon.
Yeah. So a restaurateur in Mykonos has taken her side to and they're now stepping in to be like a protector of her against him. And she has been hanging out there and, of course, recently got in another fight with a Greek heiress and she threw the heiress's phone in the ocean.
No way.
On the beach or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
But what's interesting is, at the end of the day, none of this is really being majorly reported. This is a Hollywood actress who was in an abusive relationship, similar to allegedly a story we were just speaking about. Again, pulling a lot of shenanigans overseas, getting paid majorly for an interview that no one in the States wants, and no one's talking really about it, except us.
Yeah, which is interesting, and I'm actually glad you pointed it to, you know, brought it to my attention, because I haven't heard about her in years, almost, I feel like.
Yeah.
And at least months and months and months, and it brings up the question, is that why she's so far away? Because she's then not in the media here.
Right.
That's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. But then it's not like she's not trying to make money off of it still, because that's a lot of money to get for just one story.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe she's found her groove.
She asked for overseas. A bunch of stuff. She asked for a plane to be chartered that had hair, makeup, and nails. Then she asked for, this is all real, she asked for a Russian visa. And then she said also that she wants to have a one-on-one with Vladimir Putin.
Stop it.
Yeah, according to Wendy Williams' people.
Oh, my goodness. She's trying to become the new VP for when Trump's...
Oh, my God. So I don't know what she's going to get out of all that, but she got her money from the interview.
Oh, wow.
So she's up to the usual.
Yes.
The you just checking in,
totally.
Lindsay.
Right.
You know? Meanwhile, the mean girl, Bethany, who I can't stand.
Oh, I like her.
And that's totally fine. Let's talk about it. She had a bomb scare at her Soho apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And the apartment had to be evacuated. But she was already out to lunch or dinner with that boring Carol Razwell and her boyfriend, Adam. So they were out together. No surprise there. And she ran out, you know, had to figure out what to do. I don't know where she was going to go. She couldn't go home.
Right.
But it turns out there was a suspicious package in the area, like two streets over. And they ended up figuring it out. And it ended up being like just a scare or whatever. But that girl always has something going on.
She absolutely does. And everyone thought when she was done with the Housewives the first time that she was going to go away. She came back bigger than ever. I like her. I think she hustles. Why would you leave the restaurant? You're not going home. You're not going anywhere. Like, what are you doing? And then also, they reported it almost as if it was about her, which it sounds like it most definitely had nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
So, cool, but no. And the article, you actually sent me an article from Daily Mail, and it, like, I felt like they just kept repeating stuff more about what she's wearing.
Yes, that was an awful article.
It was grammatically wrong. There were two extra words in there. I'm like, what is going on with the news these days? That is terrible.
It's terrible.
That is very bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's poor reporting.
It's very hard to find good sources to find little stories to talk about here. Because, I hate to even support some of them.
I know.
Some of them are such junk.
They really
are. Like, I think Paris Hilton is junk. I don't go on there and really take anything from his site.
Right. And because not for nothing, it's just like me and you talking about our opinions of everything else.
Right.
So why should it be valid? But, and that's fine if you take it where it's coming from. Like, if you take Perez Hilton from where he's coming from. But if you start a site and you call it Daily Whatever, and you don't have any, you know, journalistic integrity, then how is anybody supposed to know where this is coming
and
from?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Those espadrilles she had on really looked adorable. The smoky flats. But I could have found that out another way, not having to do with a bomb scare.
Yeah. That literally the only correlation was that it was in her building that she lives in. It had nothing to do with her.
No.
I thought when I first saw it, I was like, oh, someone, like, sent something to her office. Mm. They had to do, like, because that happened to Phaedra Parks on Atlanta. Apparently, there was some guy who said that, we talked about this on the show as well, that he had a bomb-ass CD that he wanted to give to Phaedra. But they just heard the word bomb. And
oh,
they had
come
to get,
on.
Yep. They had to get the bomb squad over there.
Talk it's about semantics.
Out. Yes. So that's going to play out on the new season coming up.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. The whole thing is a false alarm. So is there a story here? I don't know. But I wanted to talk about Bethany and see what you thought about her. Because I thought she couldn't have come across worse in this season, this most recent season. I just think she's a sucker of positivity.
Yeah. Is she?
I have to say,
I've been a little out of touch with her since she had her talk show.
Okay.
I kind of felt bad for her because it didn't do very well.
Well, that's when she turned.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yes.
And so I haven't been really keeping up to date with what's going on with her. What do you think of her haircut, though?
Oh, not looking good.
No, you don't like it.
No.
I liked it in one photo. I literally had to do a double take, though, because I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I like it when it's wavy, but the whole bang situation, I don't know if I'm feeling it for her.
Yeah, well, shout out to Annabelle from the New Jersey podcast and Adderall and Compliments for showing me the picture of Us magazine. She was on that magazine.
I think that's where
we had to, like, take a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't a flattering shot. She had the star bobblehead Jones look going on.
Oh my gosh.
You know, with the larger than life head, and then somewhere there's you know what I mean? Like a little spaghetti strap off, like a doll.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not here to, like, talk about women's looks, but I'm just saying, like, for a magazine cover, when you should be looking your best. I don't know, she had all the jaw work done, and she's very round. The hairstyle just doesn't compliment her very round face.
I agree. I don't think it's very complimentary on her.
No.
At all.
No.
But I do. I need to keep up with my Bethany news. I'm bad with that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, since her talk show. But
I just was so unimpressed with her behavior and slut shaming and... she was just too much this season. She was really doing too much.
See, that's interesting because she really came a long way with trying to just be an adult about things and calling other people out on their BS. And I feel like I wish she would have stayed with that because that's always the higher ground and you'll never, you know, like you can never...
Well, she took that to another level this season. Oh. She was very much there to speak the truth, but she got too personal.
There's a difference between speaking your truth and speaking somebody else's truth, because that's not your business.
Yeah, I do agree. This girl was just... She was just way too much in everyone's business. And it was very much like, this is my opinion. If you don't like it, then I'm going to keep telling you it. And then I'm going to start screaming it at you. So it got ugly. And she admitted it too. So who knows?
Yeah.
Leah Remini, famous ex-Scientologist. And I'm starting to think that's all that I know her from now.
Yeah, right. Sadly.
Do you know any Scientologists?
No.
No.
I know someone who used to do it, and then she left. But she wouldn't tell me anything about it.
No.
No.
Because I always ask, and whenever Scientology comes up, because they claim they have such a presence, but no one knows a practicing Scientologist. And you couldn't get any information out of her, huh?
No. I think she felt... She was a comedian, too, so I kind of couldn't... Not was. She still is. I kind of don't know what was real and what she was joking about or if she was uncomfortable about it because of how she felt after the fact. But I would have died to, like, know everything. Like, I want to go in there undercover one time. Yeah. And, like, I don't know how nobody has yet, you know? But it's funny. I'm doing the Quantico after show on AfterBuzz. And it starts tonight, and in the last season, there was even a similarity to... They were giving a nod to Scientology.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of funny, because you're like, okay, this is what everyone thinks, but nobody really knows unless you've done it. But no, I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it comes out, and so Leah Remini is... She was in Scientology.
Right, yeah. So now she's got this show coming out, and A&E. And A&E does a good job with these gritty, like, real-life... shows.
Behind the scenes,
yeah.
Type.
So I think this is going to be done well. I'm so glad, because when I read it, it was like Leah Remini inks deal for a Scientology-based show. I was like, oh no, she's not doing like a TV Land, like sitcom, like, oh, right. Or just like, you know, like the funny side of getting out of a church.
Right, right.
So I'm like, no one's going to check for that. Like, so this is actually like a real, like a reality-based,
but now how is
unscripted
she doing
show. Well, what it's going to be is it's about more details about her exit, which we really don't need.
Right.
Oh, there's been, like, books, reports. She's done 2020. We saw the whole deal on Going Clear, which is fantastic.
Right, right.
But and then it's also about other families that have been affected by the disconnection.
Mm.
Wait, is that how they call it? Yeah, disconnection, exactly. The practice of that. So... It'll be interesting. I drove by there the other day, and I'm always... I can't
go
slow
in.
Enough.
Yeah, right?
You know?
like, what's happening behind those
walls?
But
there's all those men on bikes. And you wonder, the people that work there, do they buy... Like, you know, if you're a regular security guard who has a bike beat, and you're on, like, Fountain, and you're just making sure that, like, no one's, like, you know, putting graffiti on the wall,
right.
Or, like, a meme of something. You know what I mean? Like, the street art pictures,
yes.
You know? Like, if that's your gig, do you have to be, like... all in Scientology to ride that bike?
Or you have to sign something. But that's what's so interesting. You don't think there's got to be a time, and maybe this is it with Leah, that it eventually comes out. And that interests me a lot because she has friends. She's very good friends with J-Lo and all that stuff. It's like, when was this time? She was in it a long time ago.
Well, I'd say about 5 years ago is when she made the exit.
She's been friends. Yeah. She has all these friends. And it's like, did that happen at the same time? How did you maintain that? Because... You know, if you get into a cult, we're just going to use that word, so to say, you have to ignore your life as it is and kind of pledge your life to them and that.
Right.
It
is odd how they maintain these careers and do that.
And how the religion maintains its secretiveness.
Right. I mean, and they're honest that they expect a certain amount of hours a day for you to dedicate to that church.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I don't know how you do it all. And I guess when you're a working actor... I'm sure a large check is equivalent to your time.
Right, right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
So there you go. But yeah, so it's going to be an interesting show. I'm definitely going to look at it. However, I will say it's not out until next year. So it's like early 2017. It's in production now. It started over the summer. But should she move on at this point, though? I mean, there's more that she has to offer than just being a loudmouth, outspoken ex-Scientologist.
Right.
And I like her. But, I mean, at what point do you move on with your life? You know,
like her, too. And didn't they even say that? They said that Scientology, the only people that ever commented, or the only things they ever commented on was the fact that she should just move on and not keep talking about this. I think if the show is really an expose and kind of showing an audience more about Scientology, I think that could be very beneficial to the world and to anybody, you know, and just it'll be interesting at the very least. Yeah. However, if it's just to promote her and kind of to talk about this and drag it out some more, no thank you. Move on or get out of the business.
Yeah.
You know, you should have made enough money by now between she was a child actress and between the show she had with King of Queens in, that just move on.
I guess
Do something else. Produce. Whatever.
I guess she would argue that, well, this is my way of helping those who have been disconnected, like, to shine the light on, you know, this. But I got news for everybody. I don't think Scientology is that huge as they want you to believe.
Really?
They are worldwide. They are in a lot of cities. Even in the United States, they're in a lot of cities. And they open up a lot of these buildings, you know, they just open them up, put the name on it. Who knows if any of the offices are filled? Especially the offices or like these buildings they have on Hollywood Boulevard, and there's a lot of them. There's like two bookstores and like another building, and then there's the Celebrity Center in that beautiful
chateau. You're almost like, where do you start?
It's a lot of real estate. It's a lot of rooms, and then they also, for those who don't know, that big blue building that they're famous for is an ex-hospital. That used to be Cedars-Sinai, that now is the famous Cedars by the Beverly Center that we see in TV and film. But that's a former hospital. So how many... who's staying in these places?
Right.
Like, what's going on? I'm like, especially like, and the hospital or like the one, the big blue building, it's always the same white shades to the sill.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on behind? I always want to know what's going on behind.
But that's why if this show showed us that, fine.
Yeah.
But
if it's more stories, I hope it's not like a family a week. Like, my sister hasn't spoken to me since 1994.
Right.
You know,
you're not actually finding information. Yeah. You're just listening to sob stories.
Right. I mean, I don't know. But I just don't think it's like as much of a major epidemic. Is it wrong with that practice? Yes. But I think there are other more worldly issues, even stuff going on in this country, that we could use a platform for than just Scientologists.
And who knows if it's like wrong per se. Maybe it works for some people.
It does work for some people, especially those who like face addiction issues. Right. They have a program for that. And I've always said that on this show. It's like any religion.
Yeah, and just to say, there are other religions where it takes very, very many hours of your time. You know, like a lot of hours. So, okay, that's not bad either.
Yeah.
But there's a huge but to it. That
because
just,
the stuff they play with the taxes.
It just doesn't seem kosher, should we say.
Or the lack of taxes that they pay.
Right.
Yeah. Have you watched the Gigi Hadid video?
With her getting attacked or harassed by that guy? Yes. And I have to say, I only feel slightly better about the fact that this guy is a celebrity prankster. So fine, but not okay.
No.
And good for her.
This girl, Gigi Hadid, famous model, for those who don't know, was at the Max Mara fashion show in Milan, grabbed from behind and then lifted and carried like a step or two. But still, like, the look on this girl's face, can you think of anything more mortifying?
No. How about the images that we're getting are so close to her face? Who's that idiot with the camera in her face instead of helping her?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's not on a red carpet. She's walking to her car. How close are you that you're able to film this, but you're not helping this girl?
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah, the whole thing was really shocking.
Really weird.
She elbowed the guy in the face, and there's a lot of videos of her online working out and stuff like that. Like, she's a spitfire girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always really liked her personality. Like, she's a real, real girl.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't even want to say his name because he's such a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know how he doesn't get arrested or, you know, for
Absolutely.
Violations like this, and he's allowed to keep doing it.
Yeah, he's allowed to keep doing it, and then he gets the press. He gets interview after after interview, every outlet wants to ask him why he did this to such and such a celebrity. And yeah,
and it's like, you're the reason. Thank you. You're covering it. You're making me famous. Yeah. You are the reason I keep doing it.
Yep. So she didn't fire any of her security, which I was kind of surprised by.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
but if someone just comes and do that, how is it? Yes.
It's kind of just a freak moment.
What are they going to do? I mean, if they followed up and kind of did whatever they could immediately after, that's how I would gauge that, as like how you took care of it.
Right. Well, I guess some people came out for her and said, like, why would you, like, do that? Why would you fight him like that? Like, I don't understand, like, why you would elbow him in the face and you wouldn't let your security deal with it. And she said, look, I am well within my right to defend myself.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there even a question? What would you do?
Yeah, totally. I don't think people wonder that or ask themselves that.
You really don't know what until you're in the middle of those scenarios.
And who would think of something like that?
Exactly.
To happen.
Exactly.
So weird.
Yeah, I feel for her. I mean, that's really, it's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And then later that night, she took a little stumble down a couple stairs. She was wearing a gown for like a gala event at night. So it was
rough
I guess,
day.
Yeah, rough day.
Don't put your hands on people. Right, keep them to yourself. Don't even get taught that when you're younger in school. Keep your hands to yourself.
Oh, we all just need like a moment of peace.
Oh my gosh, I think the world needs that, especially here in America.
Yeah,
we need to just like chill for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back talking to the ultimate people person, Andrea Fasano. Tell me how this title came to be.
Oh my God, you're killing me. That is so funny.
Isn't it a great intro?
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't want that intro?
Exactly. It's amazing and a big honor, if you will. Last summer, I submitted to this campaign for Choice Hotels International, which is like the umbrella for 11 brands of hotels that you wouldn't even realize they're all together. Comfort Inn, Comfort Suites, Sleep Inn.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And a lot more on the East Coast, like up and down the East Coast. You know, when you're going to Philly or, you know, even north, you're just like, oh, let's pull over and stay in one of these hotels. So I wound up winning a campaign that they had, and it was called The Ultimate People Person. And I traveled the country going to 7 different cities and promoting their message, which was that travel brings people together through creating social media and content and meeting people, literally meeting people. And it was so much fun. I got to do so many cool things in Chicago and Florida, coming back here to LA and Vegas, and I just loved it.
So were you kind of the face of that campaign and on the digital front? And was it anything on television? What was it like?
No, nothing on television. It was definitely a full-on digital campaign. I guess I was the face of it. It was really fun.
Great.
And it was the first time they had done it, and I think that it just was really an experience for everyone involved. And I loved their message and the idea. And really, it was really fun to be in the hotels and see how great they were throughout the country. And meet people who are members of Choice Hotels and travel a lot with a specific brand. Plus, I haven't done a lot with corporations in my life. You know, I've always worked pretty much freelance or, I don't know. I mean, doing ad sales for E! And Comcast, sure, but you know, not in that kind of setting. And it was really interesting for me to be part of that and have a job in that respect.
I worked in ad sales for Ian Comcast.
When?
Like 3 years ago.
Out here?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was like for like Fandango, E, Esquire.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't one of my favorite positions.
No, I mean, I was an ad sales assistant when I first graduated college in Long Island. Yep. And I went to the city every day, and I have so many friends. It was such a good time in my life just because it was a new venture.
Yeah.
You know, your first big job out of college, and I had such a blast, and it was definitely different. Yeah, I was an ad sales assistant, and so we'd have to talk to the traffickers to have our ads put in, or, you know, all the spots.
Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you today what I did.
Crazy is a good term for it.
Yeah, it was. You guys had a tough job and working all the time and last second. It's a respectable job.
So what is it like to work with a brand, like a big brand, national brand?
Yep. It was insane. I mean, just definitely fun. I got to go to, it wasn't a conference, but they had a huge, actually, not even statewide, but they are a little bit in Arizona and Maryland. And so they had a video conference and had this huge meeting where everybody was there and involved and kind of went over whatever they talk about, daily stuff for that corporation, and then also presented me and what the whole campaign would be. And it was kind of special to be part of that because, you know, that's why I always wanted to be in entertainment, just to be part of it all. Like when I was younger, I wanted to be an actress because I wanted to be a lawyer this day and be a doctor this day. And be, and you hear some famous actresses saying the same thing now, actors and actresses, both saying that that's why they do it, because it's so versatile. You get to experience it. Obviously, not to the degree that it really exists, but it is really fun. And it was a huge honor winning that campaign. It, and it totally gave me momentum to keep going with the on-camera hosting, which is my dream, and just my relating to people. And it just, you know, backed me up with all of the that.
Now, you mentioned you came from working in freelance. So when you go to something like this, working with a brand, what is the creative jurisdiction like?
That's a super interesting question, because I don't think they had done anything to this level on the social media front. And so you, they wanted someone who was going to be the creative mind behind the campaign and just document basically what I was going through. At the same time, you totally have to put on that corporate hat of you can only say certain things in certain ways. You have to think of who your audience is, you know, specifically. For one of them, we went to Vegas, and in Vegas, we were doing a certain amount of things that were on the itinerary, but then we got the delight of going to like the Bellagio restaurant, and we're sitting over the fountain, you know, eating awesome meal that I wanted to document and post about. And it kind of got kicked back because they were like, this is not what our customers are going to be wanting to see or do. And I'm like, well, you know, some are, some get to do it, some might not, but it's still cool to see me go through that. So that was a little difficult to, to kind of navigate for them, because you're bringing me on to a company that's been around forever and I have not worked for them before. So I don't exactly, you know, it took, I had to learn their message really quick, but it's only lended its hand to my production background and producing and producing content for myself. So it was super interesting, major learning experience, got to meet amazing people and travel, which I love.
So at what point did you say that I'm going to be doing this full time?
Hosting. That was it. When that ended, I mean, I had been, for the last 7 or 8 years, I've been out here in LA and really chasing that and kind of just putting myself in the right position as best I can. I've worked a lot as a producer for reality television, and that's also been a great, it's been a great, not substitute, I'm trying to think of the word, but it's been a really good complement to being a host, because you kind of see both sides of the production process. And also, when you are a host, you learn to take direction because you understand where that direction's coming from and what you need, and lighting and this and that, and everything that goes into making anything, TV, movies, otherwise. So that's been a big blessing in my life to just keep going with that. But ever since the Choice People Person campaign, I was like, okay, this is it. I need to do this full time. And I got the most amazing feedback from it too, as to who I am as a person, but also as a host. And so I was traveling, still going to different conferences after that with a site called Be Terrific, which brought you live content from Comic-Con in New York, and actually, which was just this time last year, and a couple of conventions in Vegas, which was so great. And it, just like what I was talking about, it's exposed me to different sides of every business, tech, you know, comic stuff, and different sides of movies. And it just, it's really opened my world to that as well. So.
Yeah. Another part of the world I know with you is sports. Yes. Talk a little bit about that, because we haven't had really anyone on the show, I don't believe, that has really worked in and has such knowledge and exposure in that space.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love sports. I've been an athlete my whole life. I went to school. I went to a D2 school and played soccer for 4 years in college. And that was the best thing in my life. That I was so glad that I was able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was on Long Island, so my parents got to see me. And there's just no feeling like that. You know, the reason people love Rudy and people love these movies like A League of Their Own, it's because sports do bring such a camaraderie, such a feeling in you that you cannot explain or express unless you're a part of that. And I've always loved that. And I've never wanted that to go away. But when I did start reporting and getting into this business and this field, I never knew exactly how to do that. Mm-hmm. How to combine the two. Would anyone in this male-driven, you know, world take me seriously and all that jazz? And somehow it has come back around. And now I'm hosting two shows at AfterBuzz, one for boxing and one for Mets, the New York Mets, which have a lot of news this week. So that's been fantastic, and I'm in development for two other shows that I want to host and do and kind of pitch and see what happens with, but it's amazing that it's come back around. Now, being in that world is just my sheer interest in it. You know, I'm a big football fan. I love the New York Giants. They lost today, but they won the last two games, so I'm happy that they're coming back, and I'm a baseball fan. And I just love playing sports, like everything from bowling to football. Like, I will play it, and I have a great time doing it. And I just, I've always gone along with people who love sport. Yeah. There's something about it that's, and it's major.
Do you see that being where you might land at the end of all this?
I hope so, because that would make me the happiest person in the world. Doing something like the People Person campaign on a large scale would be the ultimate. The ultimate. I mean, for real. Just because that's 100% being who I am and relating to people on any level, you know, empathizing with them, entertaining them, and experiencing life. But sports is definitely where it's at for me as far as interest. Right. I'm so interested in it, and I like to even relate to people on that level, too, because it cracks me up that most of the people, and I'm going to say men, who comment on sports never actually played the sport or were not good at the sport, but they're so passionate about it that they have an opinion, and that's fine, but so can I. And so one of my shows that I'm trying to do, which I don't think I even told you this, is about female athletes and that whole side of it, and me being a female, interviewing them and talking about female issues and the things they face. And that alone does not get as much media attention as it's deserving
it's
of.
It's very true.
It's so true. And I think the Olympics are bringing more. I think the women's national soccer team is bringing more attention to it. But it's not there yet. Right. So I hope to just open that conversation even more.
That's definitely a market that needs attention. Mm-hmm. There's definitely something there.
So, exactly. So I'm super excited about
it. Right, yeah. So that would be through AfterBuzz or independent?
That would be independently, and then through AfterBuzz. But actually, Kevin Undergaro helped me formulate that idea, which was awesome.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I want to call it Instant She Play, which I think would be really cute. And then
Oh, that is cute.
Instant She Play. And then there's a girl named Angela Struck, and I have gotten together through AfterBuzz, and we're talking about doing a pilot for another show with just the two of us based on sports and talking about sports. So, yeah.
That sounds like
really
you like Angela lights up when she talks about this. Like, this is the place.
I'm glad you say that.
Fun. It's so genuine and so true. And it's ultimately, I think, like where things will go from.
Aw, good. Yeah. Thanks for saying that.
I hope so. So let's talk real quick about, you know, both East Coasters.
Yes.
Now, Long Island, like, you know, like an hour away to the city.
Yes.
What made you come out here? Like, what was the deciding factor? Like, I need to be in LA.
I have to tell you, as far back as I can remember, I remember even telling my boyfriend in college, and I knew it before then, but I remember telling him, I need to be in LA. I will be in LA. LA is where it's at for me. And the weirdest set of events happened to get me out here. Mm-hmm. And that was that I had done, I call it doing right by yourself, where you just follow what's been given to you in your path. And you go, okay, let me try this for a little bit. Okay, let me do this. So I went to school, went to college, worked in ad sales for E, went back because randomly I discovered this program in communications and broadcast journalism for your master's, again, at NYIT. It was on Long Island. I was able to assistant coach while I did that. So it was a nice little happy medium. Went back to school for that. When that was finished, I wound up immediately meeting someone who was a grad of that school, and he started his own digital platform. And this is in 2007. Mm-hmm. So right before it blew up and all this stuff. But then guess what? In 2009, guess what else blew up? everything, the economy. So it went under, you know, all of that kind of went to the wayside. And I said, I'm done. I'm moving to LA. And what's weirder, the weirdest thing about this is a week before I had my first plans to ever see LA, like as a guest, a visitor, whatever, a tourist even, I was let go of that job because they were going under. And so I was like, this is just too kismet. It's too perfect. Yeah. And so I came out here. I really saw if I could handle living out here. And then in 3 months, I went back. I mean, it was a week. In 3 months, I moved because I was like, I love it. And now it's been almost 8 years.
Wow. See, that's a long run. You know, that's a lot to be able to stay motivated and to continue to stay relevant. What is your secret to your hustle?
Sustainability, for sure, at first, which I think some people would argue. But you have to be able to maintain your life of where you are. You need to say, okay, I need to put food on the table first, and then I can work on whatever. The argument to that is, well, are you really giving 110% to what you need to do? Now, the other side of that is, no matter what, you have to keep living your life. There are so many people that come out here for the entertainment business and actors that they just want to do it so bad that they're like shaking over it. And it's like, well, what else do you do in your life?
Yeah.
Do you have friends? Do you go out? Do you go take vacations? Do you live your life? Because guess what? Even the Joe Schmo that's living in his 9-to-5 in the middle of wherever, maybe they're not happy, but like you, that's the other spectrum of it completely. Both ways, you need to have your life. And because if all this is taken away from you, what else do you have? You know?
Right.
So, you know, like my voice is very sensitive. It's part of what I do. If I go somewhere and I'm screaming and I lose my voice, like that's gone, you know? But I don't know. I can get caught up in this forever. But I think sustainability is the beginning. Just being able to be not settled down per se, but just be able to do right by yourself in the fact that you don't jump in two head first, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I think that just talking to the right people and not expecting it to happen overnight. One of the best things someone told me is it's a marathon, not a race. And you just have to say, if this is what you want to do, you're in it for the long haul. I'm not Lindsay Lohan. It's not going to happen when I'm 21. And guess what? If it did, I sadly... You know, who knows if I'd be her. You know,
I feel bad for people who peak early. You know, the people who peak in high school.
Yes.
And it's like, what's left for you?
If we're living 80, 90 years these days, even if you're living 60, why do you care? If this is something you love so much, why do you care if it happens at 20? Yeah. You don't need it to. Why? So you have money, so you could blow it. You could do the same thing when you're 40 and live just as good of a life. Look at these actors and stuff who are having kids now at 40. And they're able to afford them. They're you know, and they're having a great life. So I think that the rules have changed. And I think that those are the two things to really just, you have to live your life and act as if you are happy and, you know, comfortable in your surroundings. Right. And then you also have to realize that you're in it for the long haul and you can't make excuses about that.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that you worked on reality TV. I'm so curious to know which shows and any experiences, any celebrity run-ins, anything interesting happen.
I'll never forget. I worked with CeeLo Green on his reality show. It was right after he did The Voice. And one of the funniest things to me was he was very not accessible for the show because, you know, he's CeeLo. He's a diva. He's huge. And he had a talent coordinator that kind of worked with us, the producers, and we made it happen. But for one of the scenes, I had to sit in while he was, quote unquote, working out in the gym with one of his Goody Mob members, which is his old group. And the two of them are talking. And so I sat on the stationary bike in front of them just to like work out, like weren't going to see my face. It was just to show that other people, like in case the camera caught the mirror or something.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, he's talking to his, and it was unscripted. So, you know, they had an agenda, but they could say whatever. And he turns to his Goody Mob member and he says, you know, and I got two ham bones in front of me. And I was like, oh my God, CeeLo Green just called me two ham bones. Like, what? It was so funny. Like, he was totally commenting on my physique and appearance. And it was, like, the funniest thing. I couldn't laugh because we're rolling.
Yeah, right.
And I just lost it. I just absolutely lost it. It was so funny to me. Unbelievable. But your favorite, you're a big Real Housewives fan.
Oh, yes.
I was in charge of Brandy Glanville on Famously Single.
Yes.
You know, the show on E! She was fantastic.
Really?
Yes, and I've never watched the Beverly Hills Housewives. I thought she was awesome.
I feel like she would be a team player with producers.
She is. She very much is. She understands the game, so to say.
Yeah.
And she knows why she's there, to make money and to, you know, put food on the table for her kids. And she's actually a really real person, and she knows how to play it up at times. And don't get me wrong, there's no way you can keep doing something like that and not get emotionally involved. There is no way. You know, I'm sure she has relationships with all those women in some form or another, mm-hmm. or a non-relationship, but it's a relationship. And I really liked her. I was, because all I had heard about her was hearsay before right. that. I never watched the show. So I liked her a lot. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was very real, so, which is funny.
Yeah.
You know, because of the type of shows you'd think that was. And then I did some work on a show in Idaho for 8 months, which is just the mm-hmm. total other side of crazy.
Yeah.
Because
what show was that?
A New Yorker coming to LA and then going to Idaho. It was amazing. It was called Way Out West on True TV.
Okay.
And I am now friends with, like, there was a cast of 13 and I'm close with them and I could call them up tomorrow. And it was just about these three sets of brothers that go work in the outback, like hunting lions and tigers and bears. Uh-huh. Oh my. Like, you know, over the winter they hunt bears. They take people from big cities out on hunts, and it was a different world, man. It was so cool, though. Just a different world.
What a variety of shows.
I know. I know. Which is it's a big blessing. I'm glad.
Now, I assume you're a freelance, so you were just kind of picked up by a producer here and there to produce for these shows. That's typically how it works.
Exactly. Yeah. And once you realize that, too, you relax about the business, because you realize that once someone sees the kind of person you are, the kind of you know, employee you are, they want to work with you again. Yeah. So that's how it mostly works, that they travel from show to show and...
Yeah, see, I had a hard time finding that constant work because I started off as a PA and it wasn't as, I wasn't cut out for that type of work.
Right, right.
So it didn't go very far, and I ended up working for production offices, and that's what put me in the corporate structure that I'm in now, in the office world, and that's far more comfortable with me because I know my hours, I know what my paycheck is going to look like in, you know, 3 months, you know.
And that's better for some people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It just worked for me because I had to completely support myself. I didn't have any cushion.
Right.
You know, I was directly out of school. You know, when you leave school, it's like with the diploma they hand you, the student loans. So it's like I didn't even have like 5 minutes to figure out where it is I had to be and what I had to
just do. Just go.
Yeah, and they don't tell you all that in school.
No.
They don't tell you that you need to, like, you know, get in touch with a really good story producer and you know, ride their coattails.
They don't tell you what anything is like that. I did the same when I came out here. I just PA'd answering a Craigslist ad for a movie, an independent movie, and I worked for free. And then it's like you disappear just as easily. Nobody's trying to help you based on something like that.
No.
But if you know, then you know to make connections. Yeah. And the more you do it, you learn and...
Yeah, it's funny. I walked by a soundstage the other day at work, and all the guys were in there like prepping for a shoot, and they, you know, the lights on, and you could see like the setups for a scripted show. I don't know which one, but they were all prepping, and like you could tell they were getting ready for a very long day. You know, they had the coffee, the brown cardboard,
yes,
and all that.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, for a minute, I kind of like missed that excitement of working on a production, and you know, getting there and all being a team to try to get this done and in the can.
It's very true.
Time. But then I said, well, then what? That's one day.
That's like that.
That's
exciting.
One day.
You see everyone again.
It's like 13, 15 hours. Right. And then you have to go back the next 5 days.
And you
want to
kill yourself.
Yeah. And then after that, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like if the show gets canceled, if the show wraps, if it's like a short order, then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that is just such a yo-yo lifestyle that I can't keep track of.
It took me at least 3 to 4 years because I wasn't even committed to the production side due to my desire to be on camera.
Right.
So it took a lot for me to balance that. I was bartending when I first started and came out here, and then that was not conducive to my lifestyle
at
all.
No way.
So then once I committed to the production side and I was successful in it and it was benefiting me for sure. Just in the fact that you're constantly meeting people. And guess what? They were meeting me, the authentic Andrea, that I am who I am. This is who you will see on camera, off camera, you know? And it was a really good opportunity, so.
Yeah, that's the one thing I will say. I do miss meeting new faces and seeing old ones from, like, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you work in an office, it's the same people doing the same things.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the only difference, especially me, who I love to meet people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great even to have people on this show because we have such a variety of people.
Oh, for sure.
And so as in part of keeping a really good podcast with dynamic guests, you need to keep meeting new faces. So when you're working in an office, it's kind of tough, mm-hmm. you know?
The water cooler gets that. Boring.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, in an office where people don't really leave, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how it is in these corporate jobs. And that's in any business now.
Oh, for
people
sure.
People aren't leaving really anywhere. It's like everyone's stuck at the top and everyone's just waiting patiently mm-hmm. to move up. So you just do what you got to do.
Yes, that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely
do what you got to
so.
Do.
Yeah. So what do you want to promote? What's coming up for you, Andrea?
Well, I've got, like I said, I'm working on these two shows, and who knows, I might even be on a game show soon, which would be exciting.
That's cool. I've always wanted to try one of those.
Oh my gosh, I was on one called Race to the Scene a few years ago, which was really fun out here, and we came in second. But this one's called Divided, so I'm waiting to hear if I got on to that one, because mm-hmm. I passed, like, all the background check and all that stuff. I just think that stuff's fun.
Yeah.
That's not for, like, notoriety or anything. That's just fun.
Yeah. Divided, what is that,
It's a British, I don't know what channel it's going to be on now, but it's a brand new show in America. It was a British show, and it's about three people that have to solve trivia together, and then at the end, you have to break down the money of who deserves how much. So it's really, like, the tensions are, I mean, it's throughout, and then at the end, it's really big. So
interesting, because you never see that side of a game show of, like, who gets what and the money and all that. I mean, I'll never forget what I learned on The Price is Right. You have to pay the taxes for the boat the car.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
And people don't know that.
Yeah, people don't know that. And that takes a lot. I mean, you know, you're walking in there thinking you're winning something, and then it's, oh, yeah, but you owe the state of California $4,000
right.
in taxes for this yacht. You know? Like,
yes,
oh,
it's
well,
so
that's,
true.
It's not, you know, what are you winning, really? But then that's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
I love following game shows because they're very innovative. I feel like there's always something new that they're trying, a new way. But as fast as they come, they go so quickly.
So quickly. People get bored.
Yeah.
You know? But then there's ones that are tried and true that have been on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, Price is Right. You even mentioned it. How many hosts has it had already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it happens. It works.
Only two for Price.
I thought it was three. No, you're right. Drew Carey took right over.
But like something like Family Feud or that Newlywed Game with Sherry Shepherd was, I mean, how unnecessary is that?
You know, and that's funny. Even Newlywed Game came back and it wasn't Sherry. It was one of the Wilsons.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I know.
So they keep those brands
that
going.
Was, yeah, totally. But I guess everyone could just follow me at Andy Fasano on all social media and see what I'm doing. You know, I'm going to get this Instant She Play off the ground. And if anyone has any ideas for athletes or topics, I mean, there's so much going on right now, even with the whole Colin Kaepernick kneeling for the national anthem.
Yes.
And then some of the women are doing it in the NBA and in the women's national soccer team, Megan Rapinoe. I just want to talk about these things. So stay tuned for that.
And there needs to be a platform in which to do so.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on
the
show.
Thank you for coming in. And I hope all of you will join me when I go live on October 4th at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. I really want to start strong. I've put a lot of time and effort into this, so I'd really appreciate it if you check it out over there. And of course, you can always get the podcast here on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the iHeartRadio, all the regular podcasting platforms. I appreciate you all. Keep the tweets coming, and we'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.